Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What? At issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
How does it happen that a man bent on the persecution of Christians and the extermination of the church, in the course of one day, goes from being that persecutor to a proclaimer of the Jesus that that church follows? How does Saul go from persecutor to preacher of the very gospel that he hated? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the conversion and baptism of Saul in Acts chapter 9, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why was Saul seeking to persecute Christians?
The Sunday school lesson is from Acts chapter 9, but for the Sunday school teacher to answer that question, you need to go back to chapter 8, after the stoning of Stephen, where Paul was there. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul approved of the execution of Stephen, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." And then in chapter 9, verse 1, it begins, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who was a Christian, men or women, he would bring them bound to Jerusalem."
How and why does Jesus encounter Saul there on the road to Damascus?
Well, Saul is on his horse, and as he approached Damascus, there was a great light from heaven that flashed around him. And falling to the ground, Saul heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." So that was the meeting of Jesus with Saul. It's one of the few times in the Bible after the ascension of Jesus into heaven that he again appears here on earth, and in this case, talking with Saul.
Jesus says those words that you just mentioned, "Why are you persecuting me?" What does that mean?
There we go to other parts of the Bible where Jesus makes a big point that anytime any of the believers are persecuted, take a look at the Beatitudes, it's always a persecution of Jesus, because we are members of the family of God. He is our brother. God is our Father. The Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. And therefore, whosoever you persecute, you are also persecuting Jesus, because he says in a number of places that there I am, because you persecuted me. And that's what he means here.
What does he mean when he says to Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads?
Yes. Now, that is not in the text that we're looking at from Acts chapter 9. It's found instead in Acts 26, where Paul is defending himself against Agrippa, and he tells of his conversion. And so he says a little bit more than is in chapter 9, and I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to read this, particularly verses 14 and following. When Saul had fallen to the ground off of his horse, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language. So this is Paul talking to Agrippa, the king. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. G-O-A-D-S. Now, what is Jesus talking about? This is why you really need a pastor to help you understand the English of the Bible, not just the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. A goad was a long, sharp stick that was very pointed, and farmers would use it to get an ox going the way he should go. He would take the stick and jab the hind legs of an ox until the ox would move in the direction that the farmer wanted him to go. In other words, Saul is the ox. Jesus is the farmer. And he is having Paul go in a direction, and he needs to do that in a way that makes it very obvious to Paul how important it is.
What does Jesus tell Saul to do next?
Yes, this is explained again further in Acts 26. Paul asks at this time Saul, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." And the purpose is, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. In other words, for some reason, God chose this murderer of Christians to be the apostle to the Gentiles, that is, to those who were not Jewish, to tell them all about Jesus. And Paul learned this from visiting with the apostles, talking to the Virgin Mary and other people, as Jesus himself also spoke to him and gave him revealed information about who Jesus was, etc.
Tell us about Jesus' appearance to Ananias.
Now, Ananias, this is the only time that he's mentioned in the Bible, but he is said to be a very good man, and Jesus comes to Ananias in a vision. And he calls to him Ananias, and he is a disciple of Jesus. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Because after he fell from the horse and was blind, he was that way and did not eat for 3 full days. And then Jesus sent Ananias to him. But Ananias wasn't very excited to go. He said, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he now has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And so that's part of what Jesus says to Ananias and gives him both the courage and the confidence to go to Paul.
Jesus tells Ananias, "I will show him, that is Saul, how much he must suffer for my name." What is that about, Tom?
It's a way that the Beatitudes remind us that we are blessed when we are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. That means that God recognizes us as a disciple of God, willing to take suffering. And remember, Paul rejoiced in the suffering because it also helped him to understand how far Jesus went in his suffering, much further than any other human being, because Jesus was totally innocent and he suffered for the sins of the whole world. So the suffering is actually a blessing to us, a gift from God to help us recognize how important Jesus is in our life and how important it is to tell others about the salvation that Jesus has brought to us.
Why was it necessary that Saul be baptized?
Because in baptism at Pentecost, you have a guaranteed promise. Until you are baptized, if somebody asks you, "Are you going to heaven?" you've got to kind of rely on your faith. And a lot of times you don't feel you have enough faith. But when you are baptized, you get 2 promises from God. The first is that he has definitely provided you with the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And second of all, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is so important because that is the wisdom of Jesus that Paul used in many of his writings in the Bible. And therefore, being baptized, you actually, according to Romans 6, you are on the cross with Jesus. You are buried with Jesus. You are risen from the dead by Jesus. And in Ephesians, it said that you will ascend into heaven on the day of judgment to be with Jesus in your body and spirit. So that was what was necessary for Saul to understand and preach.
We will find out what Saul did next as we look at his conversion and his baptism, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled "Playing the Mission Card." We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Making Disciples for Life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring, Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Sanctifying your exercise routine with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Gloria Day Lutheran, Davie, Florida. Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Logos Lutheran, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Hutchinson, Minnesota. St. Paul Lutheran, Hillsdale, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Zion Lutheran, Pampa, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
No rich people allowed in heaven, sent to hell for speaking an insult, no forgiveness for the unforgiving. Those are some of the questions answered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's called Jesus Said What? You can find out more about this book by giving Concordia Publishing House, its publisher, a call, 1-800-325-3040, and order it there. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Jesus Said What? It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. We're talking about the conversion and baptism of Saul in Acts chapter 9. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Tom, after the baptism and conversion, what does Saul do next?
Well, what he did is he went right into the temple and began to preach. And that was amazing because people couldn't believe it was the same person. And after scales fell from his eyes so he could see, for some days, according to verse 19, he was with the disciples at Damascus and proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed. Isn't this a man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, according to verse 22. And he confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now, how did Paul do that? Well, Paul was a great student of the Old Testament books. And we're quite confident that just as Jesus on the road to Emmaus had shared with two disciples the purpose of his death and resurrection and brought gladness to their heart. So Paul would be quoting the Old Testament all over the place, proving that Jesus was the Christ. And that's what he did.
How do the people react to Saul's conversion?
Well, number one, the unbelievers, the Jews, plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. And though the unbelieving Jews were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. So, what about the believers? When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. But verse 26 says, they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. So on the one hand, you've got the unbelievers who are trying to kill him, and you have the believers who have great fear of him because of what he had been doing to the Christians, and therefore it was very hard to have a conversation with them.
Why do the Jews plot to kill Saul, and how does he escape?
Well, as I indicated, they lower him through a hole in the wall. Perhaps maybe it was a window or something, and they lowered him in a basket, and he therefore escaped back to Jerusalem. And the disciples there did not believe him to be a disciple. And that's why Barnabas becomes very important. He took Saul and brought him to the apostles, and he explained to them how on the road Saul had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and then at Damascus, how Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And when he spoke, he disputed against the Hellenists. These were Greek-speaking people who were somewhat Jewish but didn't believe in Jesus because they were seeking to kill him. But when the brothers learned this, they brought him to Caesarea and kept him in Tarsus. So, because of Saul's preaching, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. They walked in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church multiplied brilliantly. More than 6,000 people at Pentecost. Many, many more. In fact, even priests in Judaism converted to Christianity. And that's why Saul was so hated by the unbelieving Jews.
What should the Sunday school children know about their own conversion and their own baptism?
We need to help the Sunday school children learn that there really was no difference between them and Saul, because they were born with original sin, and though they may not be killing Christians, they were still going against God himself. Every time they sin, they're breaking the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and they make themselves a god. So we are born in sin as enemies of God. And for some reason, especially even for the children, God chose them to be his own, and in baptism makes them a new creation in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible verse that Enduring Faith, the CPH Sunday School material, uses for this wonderful experience, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1.
What is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that it accuses us of being in sin. And the liturgy a lot of times reminds us that we are poor, sinful beings deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But then comes the good news that though we can do nothing to get out of our sinful condition, God does everything by having his Son become a human being, suffer, die on the cross, be raised from the dead, and ascend into heaven at the right hand of God. And that's why a child need never fear anything that happens to them in the world, because the Holy Spirit is with them as a guaranteed promise from God in the waters of holy baptism.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks for your help.
And thank you.
We'll go to listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on the other side of the break. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What? At issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.